Behold these words, these familiar words from the Lord Jesus Christ, that indeed he speaks to his disciples. He speaks to his disciples. Yes, there were many listening in on that great Sermon on the Mount, where we read, before he begins, seeing the multitudes, he went up a mountain, and when he was seated, and notice that, when he was seated, no preacher, unless they have an impairment, no preacher is seated. No preacher is found seated. But the Lord Jesus was seated, signifying this, his authority, his absolute authority. He was seated. When he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them. Primarily, these words were given to the apostles and the disciples of the Lord Jesus, those who followed him. But of course, there were many who heard the words also. Those who were yet to be called. And he says these very familiar words. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles is meaning the unbeliever, the unbelieving. The ones who do not trust the Saviour. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, your needs, all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about his own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We turn in the Word of God for our text tonight to 1 Peter chapter 5. And shortly you will see the theme of these hymns we have been singing this evening is all about the authority, the dominion, the power, the rule of our sovereign Saviour God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle says towards the close of this fifth chapter, towards the close of this first epistle, he says to the people of God, these scattered believers, but may the God, verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And then here in verse 11 follows what is commonly called a doxology. We don't need to worry about the terminology. Commonly called a doxology, a great declaration of praise to the Saviour. One of my favourite, perhaps it's not a doxology as such, but it's similar. One of my favourite declarations is by the Apostle Paul, when he just finds himself lost for words. He just finds himself lost for words when speaking of this great God. When trying to explain the wonders of God's person, of his ways. And he says these words. Sorry, lost my text there. He says, Oh the wonder of God's word, of his will. His ways are past finding out. He says, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? Oh, you can hear the apostle as he says these words. Oh, the depth. How deep. How deep. How unmineable. How the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. We just read in Daniel chapter 7 of the visions that were given to Daniel the prophet of those kingdoms that were surely to be raised up. And just as certain as they were to be raised up, just as quickly as they would be raised up, just so quickly they would be brought down again. And then he has the vision of the everlasting kingdom, the kingdom of God's Son, which knows no beginning nor end. It shall never end. And it rules over all kingdoms. And we see in the book of Daniel earlier on in chapter 4 where that proud father of Belshazzar, who did not repent, but the father Nebuchadnezzar was brought low for a season to bow before the rule of God. And he declared that he rules in the armies of heaven and earth. And there's none that can stay his hand, nor say, what doest thou? This is the one that the Apostle Peter here declares. This is the one in this doxology, in this great declaration of praise to the Saviour God. This is the one that he declares. It's the one and the same. He says here in verse 11, to him alone, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. There is no question. There is no question, it is so, it shall be so. The title of the message this evening is this: the great declaration that Jesus rules. You could subheading it also: he rules, for he is God. Now you think that this is a statement, that this is a declaration that is almost that we should just take for granted that the church believes, that the church proclaims. But not so. It seems down the centuries, the church has continually been attacked by false teaching here and false teaching there, which has chipped away at both the total perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his absolute deity. If you have time to read church history, you will see this is the case. And see church history from the very beginning, in the church's infancy, in the New Testament. See why these epistles were written. One particular epistle, indeed, was written for that purpose. The book to the church at Colossians. No time to go into that right now, but the such teaching of the Gnostics that indeed believed all matter was evil and denied that Christ came in the flesh. But you will see many of these early church false teachings that invaded the church or attacked the church, their tentacles can be seen behind all false religion. Because at the centre of it is the denial, the refusal to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ as the only ruler. That he is God Almighty and there is none other. Firstly, I want you to see here, if Christ Jesus, the Lord, for that's his name, he's not just Jesus, he's not just Christ, he's not even just Lord, he is Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is God. He is the Messiah, the anointed one sent from God. And he is Saviour. If Christ Jesus the Lord, the Son of the living God, that this man Peter was caused by the moving in him of God the Father by his Spirit to declare to the Lord Jesus, when he said to his disciples, what do men say that I am? But what do you say? Who do you say that I am? And he says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. This Lord Jesus, if this Christ, this Lord Jesus, be not proclaimed in every church gathering, every place gathering, I hesitate to say place because we know that the building is not the church, but every gathering of people that calls itself the church, if this be not proclaimed in every gathering, then the church has not truly met and joined together. That's just as simple as that. For we read in 1 Corinthians 12, do we not, of the church. What wonderful illustrations we have of what the church is. And we have this illustration in 1 Corinthians 12 of the church being one body with many members. And the eye cannot say to the ear, I do not need you, and the arm and the leg and so on and so forth. Every member is needed, like a body, like a functioning body. But we're told, you're all members together, and Christ is the head. Who would ever say a physical human body were present. A physical human body was functioning with no head. Have you ever heard of such a thing? So how can it be the church meeting together when Christ is not placed in that central place every time we meet? Just as you cannot have a body without the head, Christ is that head, the head of the body, the church. The pastor is not the head of the body. An archbishop is not the head of the body. Most certainly, that man in a dress in Rome is not the head of the body. Christ is the head of the body. He will not share this glory with any other. Not one. Not one. Not one single one. Now, I understand where people can presume upon titles and such like. But those of you who do not know me, please do not ever presume to insult me by calling me reverend. Or rather, better put, do not blaspheme God by calling any man reverend. God tells us in the Psalms, reverend is his name. He will not share his glory with another. The word of God declaring that he is Lord and must be at the very center, but not just at the center, rather, the center of all things in the church. All things. If Christ has no place in things that we do as a church, we are not acting as the church. In all things, the apostle tells the Colossians, in all things. It's the reason why God has given his son to the church. That in all things he might have the preeminence. The preeminence. And they knew the meaning of this word, did they not, in the first century. They knew the meaning of the word preeminent. Oh, there are many, many, many emperors that came and went who saw themselves as preeminent over everyone. Some even in the Roman world, they declared themselves gods. Preeminent. That means there is no one above. And must have all the attention, must have all the glory, must have all the dominion. For Christ has the dominion over all, and he is God Almighty. I said this a few weeks ago in another message, but we must continually remind ourselves what we've lost in bold evangelism of the gospel. The evangelism of the gospel is to declare that Christ is Lord. He is God. He is God the Saviour. And if we diminish him to just Jesus the Saviour, we are not declaring who he is and the power and the dominion. unto him be glory and dominion forever. The apostle is clearly stating here that the one whom we worship, the one whom we serve, the one whom we follow, the one who has called us unto his eternal glory, the one by whom we come to God, is God. He is God. For God will not share his dominion, God Almighty will not share his glory with another. If the Lord Jesus is not God Almighty, we must tear out verse 11 from 1 Peter 5. He's either blaspheming God or he's declaring what is the truth, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Yeah, I know that there are those who call themselves Unitarians, not Trinitarian. Simply put, they believe that, God somehow, they claim, because it's not the truth, but they claim that God only declared himself as a Unitarian God in the Old Testament. True, God said, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. But he said, the Lord your God, the Lord. And throughout the Old Testament, yes, veiled and not as clear as in the New, he was declared to be one God, three persons, three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but one God. Not three essences, not three appearances, but three persons. And I know there are those who would deny this. You may not realize this, but Pentecostalism, the falsehood of Pentecostalism, denies the Trinity. Find me a Pentecostal so-called believer who's been baptized as Jesus commanded, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. No, they are not. And there are many others who would make such claims. They would say they will only be baptized in the name of Jesus. And all the others who would say from these other false religions that indeed that we are blaspheming God by saying that Jesus is Lord. They don't understand the Word of God. They've never read the Word of God fully. For what it's saying. They say the Lord Jesus never said he was God. Countless times he declared it. But only those who have ears to hear will hear. He must be declared. He must be declared to be and acknowledged as who he is. He will not take half glory. He must be declared as who he is. Any other gospel that does not declare the Saviour that we believe and trust, any other gospel that does not declare that he is God Almighty, yes, that he is God in the flesh, anything else is another gospel. And as the apostle goes on to say in those words in Galatians 1, is not a gospel at all. It's a perversion. It's not a gospel and is not of God. For the Apostle John says in 1 John 4, it is Antichrist. Not just the spirit of, it is Antichrist. All hail the power of Jesus' name that angels prostrate for. 2, the Apostle Paul elsewhere in the New Testament, he shows us how this Jesus, how this Lord and Saviour must be recognised as having all glory and dominion in this simple statement, which perhaps we can take so for granted, when he says, "Woe is me if I preach not Christ." There's no good believers on the Saviour, those who are truly born of God, those who are truly saved. It's no good us engaging with people, seeking common ground, and just saying the name God. I believe in God. I trust God. I follow God. I follow God's word. This is all true. But there must come a point where you depart from those who do not believe what we believe as to who God is. And you do them no favours. Do them no favours whatsoever if you hide that. Christ must be preached, not just Saviour, but Lord over all. The gospel message is the kingship, the kingdom of God. Another expression we take so loosely and miss the point of. The kingdom of God's dear Son. The rule of God's dear Son. And those who know yourselves born again and called by God's matchless grace to receive the forgiveness of sins by virtue of the great sacrifice made at the cross, have known a change come about. For what is that dramatic? What is that most dramatic turnaround? That conversion. And you notice the order in which I have put things. Those of you who have known yourselves to be born again. You can convert left, right and centre, backwards and forwards to many things in your lifetime. But you can only be converted to God when you're born again. Not the other way around. To know yourselves, to be turned around, that conversion which has come to pass with those made alive in Jesus, born again of his Spirit. It is as the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, to see the kingdom of God. And by repentance and faith toward God, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, it is to enter into gladly, to submit to the rule of God. That's what it means to be a child of God. That's what it means to be what is commonly called a Christian. That's what it means to be a believer. Such a dramatic change has come about. They are such as give absolute glory and dominion over to their God and Saviour. In the day of his power, God's people are made willing. We don't come by a free will. We don't have a free will. But when the power of God comes and changes those who are the objects of his grace, then there's a willingness to come gladly and submit to him. Him who already has set up the rule of himself in the hearts of his people, so they will submit to him. Thirdly, what is the difference now then? What is the difference now? With such as know yourself to be under the dominion and rule of Christ Jesus, who is the Lord from heaven. Well, it is to be in light rather than darkness. People choose to only read certain scriptures at certain times of year because of some kind of superstitious understanding that they feel like it's only for certain seasons and festivals that man have made up. Oh, what a glorious statement. What a glorious statement. As Zacharias's, his lips were loosened, his tongue was loosened. He who was struck dumb because he didn't believe at first of the great miracle that would be meted upon him and his wife Elizabeth, that they should bear a son. Yes, even in the womb of barren Elizabeth. And he declares, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. That's the dramatic change. For Colossians 1 tells us of this ruling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has delivered us from the power, from the domain, from the dominion, from its enslavement. From the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And 1 Peter 2 says these words. But you are a chosen generation, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's the kingdom of God's Son. That's why the Lord Jesus said, I am. The great I am, Jehovah God, that's me that is speaking to you, he says. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's the rule of Jesus Christ, the Lord, in his people. To be under the dominion of God's Son is to be free from the power of sin. No, in this life, of course, we shall not be free from the effects of sin, from the attacks of sin, from indwelling sin in the flesh. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's not been reformed in any way. But that which is born of God does not sin. It's a new nature. And the two are opposed. And yes, there is sin which attacks on all fronts. But it's a defeated foe. Totally defeated. To be under God's dominion in his Son is to be free indeed from the power of sin to enslave. For those who are brought by the power of God's grace and mercy to gladly submit to Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, are set at liberty. At liberty from the power and the condemnation of sin. The word of God promising all who trust the Saviour. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It cannot. Fourthly, to be a follower of this King Eternal, to be a member of an everlasting kingdom, the Lord's rule and domain shall never come to an end. We look further at those words that were said of this one who humbled himself, humiliated himself, made himself low, and came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Humbled himself even as an infant. And the one who found grace in the eyes of God was told of this one who should be conceived in her. This one, this Saviour, this Jesus, this Lord, he reigns a kingdom, but like none other. We're told by the angel said to Mary, verse 32 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And that is why those truly wise men, those Magi coming from the east, rightly said, where is he who has been born king? He's already ruling. He always did rule. He rules eternally. And God's word says to his people, such as trust his Son, that we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Yes, if you're in Christ, you are on the right side. People say in lots of areas of public life and high-profile things that have been going on, even recently, they say, is such and such found on the right side of history? Are you found on the right side of history? There's only one right side of history. To be found in Christ, the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Everything else is crumbling around. But Christ and his kingdom and his people shall endure forever. If you follow this all-glorious, all-powerful, everlasting King, you shall overcome in him. Overcoming all that stands against your faith. All the afflictions of your sinful flesh. Your Saviour, Jesus Christ, is ruling every element, every molecule in this vast universe. And he needs no microscope. He needs no new all singing, all dancing computer which has just been invented. His eyes behold everything. For he's the creator of all things. This one who by whom God created all things. Even the very Son of God, who by himself has purged our sins at the cross. Every heart and every mind, we hear that spoken of quite a lot in the world. Every heart and every mind, he is over all. He rules over all. Even those who are opposed to him, he rules over all. Even the high priest who came against the Lord Jesus prophesied of his glory. God is not mocked. He is the only potentate of time. The Lord Jesus rules, and his kingdom and rule, which shall know no end, is an everlasting rule. And so fifthly, this Lord Jesus is to receive then all praise and all glory. For for his majesty. That which is ascribed to him is without controversy. Undeniable. Yes, men deny it, but it is undeniable. He has the dominion and power over all things. Everything small and everything great has been placed under him, and he rules supreme, unobstructed by anything in the material or the spiritual realm. That is the Lord Jesus. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Everyone and everything that has breath must and shall be brought to give him the praise and the glory. The honour due to him. The glory and the honour. His person and his great name, which is over and above every name that is named. As God the Father said of him, and let all the angels of God worship him. And so I challenge anyone who would say now, in hearing those words, if they are not convinced by these words, to him be the glory and the dominion forever. And let all the angels of God worship him. Just who is Jesus, if he is not God? The Lord God Almighty will not share his glory with another. Therefore, we know that this Saviour is almighty to save and to keep, because he is God, ruling and reigning forever. And so listen then. Whatever your stance, whether you submit now to the rule of God, believing on his Son or not, you shall all praise and glorify him as you should. For all shall be gathered, small and great alike, before the great white throne of judgment. And everyone, every knee, the proudest of proud, along with the humble, shall be brought to bow the knee, prostrate indeed before this Lord, and declare that he is God, he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But indeed, we must acknowledge him. We must acknowledge him, Saviour and Lord, now, if we indeed be welcomed into his eternal kingdom on that great day. I pray that indeed we will all know what side of history we are on. Amen.